Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today's date is Tuesday, September 3rd, 2024. Today we're reading from the Big Book and we're on page 44, paragraph 1, the beginning of We Agnostics. And that starts with in the preceding chapters and ends with only a spiritual experience could conquer. Today's readers are Kathy P. for the 12 steps, Letty G. for the 12 traditions. Wendy M. will read and comment on our reading today. Luann C. and Eileen M. We also have Diane B. here to greet newcomers and Robin P. with some announcements for you. The reference number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for Monday, September 2nd, is 21706. That's 21706. And the reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting is 21709. That's 21709. COA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Kathy P. to please read the 12 steps of OA. Star one to unmute, Kathy.
Oh, sorry, I guess I got muted. Hi, this is Kathy P. from Oregon, grateful to be of service. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Kathy P. Letty G., please read the 12 traditions for us.
Good morning, this is Letty G. These are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, or prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to do service, and hello to everybody, and gratefully recovering one day at a time. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Letty G. Thank you very much. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 44. There is a, We Agnostics. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm reading the, giving you the wrong, We Agnostics. page 44, paragraph 1. And I will now ask Wendy M. to please begin reading for us.
Yes, good morning, Wendy M. Recovered in Boulder, Colorado. Grateful to be here. Elaine, thank you for your service. Everybody else on the line. So chapter 4, We Agnostics. In the preceding chapters, you have learned something of alcoholism. We hope we have made clear the distinction between the alcoholic and the non-alcoholic. If when you honestly want to, you find you cannot quit entirely, or if when drinking, you have little control over the amount you take, you are probably alcoholic. If that be the case, you may be suffering from an illness which only a spiritual experience will conquer. So, this is just to remind me that I wake up agnostic every morning. And even though I just read page, 43, right? And I remember Jim and I remember Fred and the Jaywalker. I remember those people. I need to be reminded probably every day, right? Taking the first step, which is what this is. You honestly want to. Do I honestly want to diagnose myself as a compulsive overeater? For a long time, I didn't. But it's one of the best things to do today. Because when I acknowledge that I have this thing, I have this ism, right? I have it. That brings me to freedom in about 2 seconds. And the game changer here, of course, is spiritual experience, which only, right? It's not like sometimes. We're not partly pregnant. Which only a spiritual experience will conquer. That's the good news. There is a solution, like we read before, right? And I have to access this spiritual experience. And I'm glad that they say spiritual experience because the way it works for me is I don't know that I believe in God, but I experience God constantly. So, like, for example, I did a 10-step the other day, and I shared with somebody the honest truth about my part in the situation. That is a spiritual experience. That is what gets me to God every time. I've got to get to God. If I don't, my thinking goes back to agnosticism, and I think I can run the show. Somebody said recently, I have to give up self to get God. That's, you know, what the price had to be paid, right? Selfish self-centeredness. And I'm like, oh, that's all I have to do is just get rid of self or give up self? Yes, that's what this whole book is about, giving up self so I get God. Why do I want to get God? Because it feels fantastic. When I'm in alignment with God, when I call one of you and I tell you my secret, I tell you my part, I tell you where I'm agnostic, I feel incredible, right? That's where we get the freedom, right? Because we get out of the bondage of self. Self is keeping me in self. And self tells me I don't have a disease. And self tells me that the lies make sense, right? And it says here the word honestly. If you honestly want to, the first 15 years of program, I didn't know God was a part of this whole program. I had no idea. Seriously, I just thought it was about getting skinny and getting friends. And then I hit Vision in 2015, and I oh my God, there's a God. Oh, wow. And I don't have to run my life. This is phenomenal news because my life is not my business. That's how it works. If my life is my business, I'm in trouble so quickly. So here we are getting freedom, freedom, freedom from this book. Thank you.
Greatly. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it, Wendy M. Okay. Although we value everybody's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day, in order that others might share their experience too. So if you'd like to comment on page 44, paragraph 1, We Agnostics, please give me your name.
Laura W., New Jersey.
Laura W.
Luann C., Idaho.
Luann C., Idaho.
Eileen M.
Eileen M. I'm sorry. Oh, I didn't get the last one.
Annabelle Z, Washington.
Annabelle
Z. Shirley Russell from California.
Okay, Shirley. Shirley R. Let me tell you what I've got so far. I'm sorry, who was that?
Oh, just commenting.
Okay. Okay, I've got Lauren W. In New York, Luann C., Eileen M., Annabelle W., and Shirley R. Did I miss anybody? Okay. So, Laura W., please share with us.
Diane B.
Oh, I got you, Diane B. Okay, Laura.
Thank you.
Thanks, Elaine. Good morning, everyone. It's Laura W., and I am in South Jersey. I am a recovered compulsive eater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic. And gosh, you know, We Agnostics, when I first came into this program many, many, many years ago, I almost skipped right over this chapter because I was brought up in a religion. I was brought up in a Christian home. But, you know, We Agnostics is a Latin word. Agnostics, you know, ag means without. And Gnostics means knowledge. So it doesn't mean, like I say, oh, there's definitely no God. It just means I'm not knowledgeable. I don't have knowledge about this. And this whole book is here to teach me. And this chapter, this paragraph specifically, it gives us two very clear-cut questions. When you honestly want to, you find you cannot quit entirely, or when drinking, you have little control over the amount you take, you are probably alcoholic. The writers of this book didn't like to declare anybody an alcoholic. They like to give us the choice. They want us to diagnose ourselves. But it does say, in that case, you may be suffering from an illness which only a spiritual experience will conquer. Only a personality change for me, rooted in a relationship with God, is going to get me recovered, is going to bring me the solution. And the solution is not abstinence. The solution is not eating certain substances or weighing and measuring my food. The solution is spiritual. And it talks about the allergy, you know, when you can't stop drinking, you have little control over the amount you take. You know, this allows me to draw my own conclusion here. And yesterday, I don't even want to say I celebrated, but yesterday God gifted me 20 years of back-to-back abstinence. And I'm saying that because this is a true miracle. This is a, like, I should be, you know, 6 feet under. And somebody who's new to this program and wondering how they get one day of abstinence, I felt the same exact way. I could not stop restricting. I could not stop eating sugar. I could not stop over-exercising. And today I have neutrality in all of those things. And that is not me. That is a spiritual experience that a personality change has helped me get. And that has been rooted in a relationship with a higher power. So I'm not agnostic anymore when it comes to certain things. I do believe that my higher power can and will help me with my food, weight, and exercise, and he does every single day. And, you know, this is not, there's no spiritual part of this for me. The entire book, the entire 12 steps is spiritual. So I try to live a spiritual life. You know, I stay abstinent no matter what, but when it comes to my moods and my behaviors, you know, I'm a work in progress. So I'm grateful for this. I'm grateful for these two clear-cut questions because it lets me decide, and my answer is yes. Yes, I am one of you. So thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you very much, Laura W. Luann C., you are up next. Please share with us.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you. Thanks for everyone. Two great chairs before me. I'm Luann C. I am recovered but not cured in Boise, Idaho. And I, too, love this paragraph because it gives you these two easy ways to evaluate yourself, you know, whether you're a compulsive overeater or you're just a heavy occasional binger. You know, the problem for me was that I wasn't honest. So when I read this the first time, I told myself I could quit if I wanted to. Because, you know, back in '06, I was on a diet for 6 weeks and lost 2 pounds, you know. And I know now that once I ate certain foods, I couldn't predict when the eating would stop. But without the honesty piece, I couldn't really see that I needed a spiritual solution. Because I had been praying. I mean, I literally was praying 2.5 hours every morning. But, and I equated that with the spiritual solution. I was being spiritual, but I was praying without any action. And for me, it took the experience of being hungover from a binge and finally being bereft of any idea of what to do and reaching out in the flimsy hope that this higher power thing was real. And finally, I had a first step of just complete surrender and willingness to follow directions. And so for me, to the newcomer, you know, the good news is you don't have to be 70 like me and finally give up, you know, your ideas that don't work. And to if you're 70, the good news is you can be like me and you can get recovered at 70 too. And I would just say, try to get to that innermost self where it's just you and the truth. And ask yourself if these two conditions are true for you. And if they are, I can attest that this solution really solves the problem, not just another temporary relief that dissolves in your hands, but problem solved. And I'm so grateful today to be, you know, on my feet again and a vital member of society. So, so grateful for everyone here. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Luann C. Eileen M., you're up next, followed by Annabelle W.
Good morning. This is Eileen M., and I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater. I'm in New Hampshire. I'm just looking at the sentence, if when you honestly want to, you find you cannot quit entirely. So, you know, that to me says, if you can't stay stopped, the main problem is in your mind. And that's what we've been reading about in the previous chapters, is that, you know, the main problem is in our mind, if you're a real compulsive overeater. And, you know, what I learned here in this meeting is that not everyone in OA is the same. And that's what I used to think. You know, I used to go to face-to-face meetings for years, and I thought, oh, yeah, everybody, we're all the same. We all have the same issue. But, you know, then I came to Vision for You in 2016 after 27 years of struggling in face-to-face meetings. I got, you know, I found Vision for You, and, you know, people started talking about, well, you know, there's this thing called the hard eater, the moderate eater, and the real compulsive overeater. And I was able to identify myself as the real compulsive overeater. And, you know, I could not figure out, you know, for years, I would sit in meetings, in these face-to-face meetings with other people that were, you know, they seemed to be staying abstinent for long periods of time, and they were working a tools-only program. And, you know, like somebody else just said, is that I hardly heard the word God in those meetings or higher power. And I couldn't figure out, like, I kept relapsing. And I'm like, what is wrong with me? Why can't I stay stopped? I could not figure this out for years, you know. And I felt like, okay, I'm different from them somehow, and I need something stronger. And I just didn't know what it was. And I was so grateful when someone, you know, locally told me about Vision for You. I mean, it was just amazing because I got on here and, you know, a Vision for You is the best information for recovery that I have ever heard. And, you know, this book is the pathway to God. I mean, and that's what, you know, as someone said, we have to get to God. So, you know, if you want to get recovered and stay recovered, you know, this is the meeting to keep coming back to. So thank you. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Eileen. Thanks for keeping coming back. Okay, we have Annabelle W., and you'll be followed by Shirley R. in California. Thanks, Annabelle.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
You sound great.
Oh, great, yeah. It's actually Annabelle Z., but funny, my maiden name is W. Anyway, but it's still me. So, yeah, Annabelle Z. in Washington State, recovered compulsive overeater, and super grateful to be on the line today. I don't know if I have anything to add. There's so many awesome shares already by just amazing followers that I love dearly. But, you know, one thing that really stood out to me today is that piece about suffering from an illness which only a spiritual experience will conquer. And I know it's been commented on a lot, but that spiritual experience it has to happen for me every day. And I think Wendy, the lead opening, shared right off the bat, did I wake up a non-recovered person? I wake up without having a spiritual experience. I have a reprieve, though, every day from this disease that's based on my the maintenance of my spiritual condition. So it's based on me having a spiritual experience. And I can just wake up and do my day and, you know, go about, and I just am not right. And I'll do my meditation later. It just doesn't work. And Vision for You and working the steps the way we work them on this meeting, for the most part, it really encourages morning meditation. You know, and for me on the West Coast, this meeting is a 7 a.m. meeting. And, you know, I wake up in bed and listen to it. And if I'm working, I listen to it in the car driving to work. And it's absolutely essential that I start my day really having a spiritual experience. And most often I wake up even earlier to do meditation and prayer. And I love what was shared about, like, you know, I used to pray 2.5 hours a day, but that's not having a spiritual experience. The experience comes with doing the process of the 10th step, and the process of the 3rd step and the 7th step, and, you know, in the prayers and saying, God, you're my guide. I'm nothing without you. I'm lost without you. But with you, I'm everything. I have all the power, and it's all because of you, God. You know, and saying that in prayer and acknowledging that the source of my power is not from me, even though God is within me, I believe that today. But it's not my power. It's God's power. And it just leaves me grateful. It leaves me ready to be and able to be of service, because I'm not thinking in self-pity about me. I'm immediately ready to, you know, in everything I do, no matter what my circumstances are, be able to serve. I'm presently recovering in bed from a massive surgery I had last Thursday. I came home from the hospital on, I think it was Monday, Sunday. Anyway, I was in the hospital for 4 days. And the best thing I've done, I mean, I'm so grateful that I'm alive and that the surgery went so well. It was an 11-hour anesthesia.
That's a reminder.
Oh, of course. So, and the best thing that I've done is to serve other people, is to call people and say, how's your spirit? How are you doing? And, it, you know, it just brightens my spirit. So, anyway, thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Annabelle Z. Glad you're home now. Shirley R., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Diane B.
Well, I'm very humbled today, and this I'm a newbie here, and I'm starting my fourth day of sane abstinence, and I have realized that the deepest of spiritual experiences are found in God directing your life. And I feel such peace and love and support for that. And I look forward to new adventures through the rest of the 12 steps. And I'm starting with the first one. So I look forward to my journey. And I'm 83 years old. Young. I pass.
So glad you're here, Shirley R. Welcome. You're in a good place for recovery. Okay. Diane B. is up next, and then we're going to take another lineup commenting on page 44, paragraph 1. And please share with us, Diane.
Good morning. This is Diane B., gratefully recovered in New York. So happy to be back on this meeting. Summer's over, so I can come back to my 10 a.m. vision meeting. So thank you, everyone who shared above me, or before me, I should say. Ditto, ditto, ditto. It's, you know, there's so much in here, and there's so much that applies to me and most of us, or many of us. So, you know, in my old days when I used to buy all those self-help books and diet books and whatever, I would never read the beginning. I would go immediately to, okay, what do I do? How do I do this? So I would have never even read this chapter because I would have just immediately gone to how it works. But this is so important. You know, for me, I've learned about the physical aspects of this disease. I've learned about the mental obsession of this disease. You know, now I need to find out what is the recovery piece. How do I handle, or how do I deal or live with this disease, which has a physical piece and an obsessive mind piece? And it says here that this is an illness which only a spiritual experience will conquer. So, you know, we hear about the three-legged stool sometimes in OA. We hear about the physical, emotional, and spiritual recovery, and that's what it really is about. And for years, I would go to the meetings. I've been in the room since 1986, and I kept hearing, absence is the most important thing in my life today. You know, and you know what? If I could have done abstinence alone, just followed this food plan that I was given, I wouldn't need to be here. I could do one of the paying ways or just follow the food plan if I could do it by myself, but I never could. And that's, I think, the main point here, is that I never could do that. I have to have that spiritual experience. For me, it's a spiritual awakening. You know, the promises say sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. I'm almost always on the slowly end of things. So for me, it was a spiritual awakening. I needed to get more proof, more evidence. And slowly but surely and eventually, I really started to believe that there was something out there or within me that's connected to something out there that can help me to live in a normal body size, even though I know that I have this disease. And so for me, just to put down my alcoholic foods and just keep going my merry way would never, ever work for me. I had to have that spiritual experience or that spiritual awakening. If I don't do that, then I'm not going to be able to be recovered. And again, the honesty, You know, we've heard several people talk about that. I wasn't honest with myself. I kept negotiating. I kept saying, oh, it's okay today, when it wasn't okay today or any day to have whatever the food was at that moment. So, again, this is something that I absolutely have to do. I have to have that spiritual awakening in order to be able to live with this disease. Yep. And so with that, I'm going to pass. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Diane B. Okay, so we value everybody's experience. We do ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience too. If you'd like to comment on page 44, paragraph 1, please press star 1 to unmute and give me your name.
Kathy P. from Oregon.
Kathy P. from Oregon.
Linda G. in Alabama.
Roz G.
I heard Linda G. in Alabama. Somebody else and then Roz G. Who was that?
After Tony H. in Connecticut.
Tony H. in Connecticut. Room for maybe one more? Okay. Let's go with Kathy P., Linda G., Tony H., and Roz G. Please share with us, Kathy P.
Hi, this is Kathy P. from Oregon. Thank you for taking the meeting. I just wanted to share on what I have to do every morning, and what I'm working on is that spiritual connection, because I've tried this program over and over and over and over again without God, and it doesn't work. And so I'm, you know, doing a set aside, trying to get out of self, set aside everything I think I know about program, about God, about myself, and to move toward God to help me in my program of recovery. And you know, I love this meeting. I love the recovery at this meeting. I didn't hear a lot of that in mainstream OA meetings. And I'm just so grateful and so happy to hear so many people share their lengths of abstinence and how they have a new trilogy. And I, you know, want to continue to work toward that. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kathy P. Linda G., you're up next, followed by Tony H. I want to unmute Linda G.
This is Linda G. in Alabama. My higher power came to me so clearly and said to me, who are you to say there is no God? It was an overwhelming experience, and I am so grateful for it. I know for sure my higher power is with me every day and granting me my back-to-back abstinence every day. And it's been 30 days every day that I've had of blessed abstinence. And it's just been blessed abstinence every day that
I'm sorry, I did something. I don't know how to mute myself.
Star one to mute, please. Thank you.
I'm sorry, you guys.
Am I still on?
Tony. Yes, you are, Tony.
Okay.
Yes, Linda, please continue.
And I just want to share that I am so appreciative that I've had every day. I am so grateful that I've had every day. It's a blessing. It's something that I'm grateful for, and I guess with that I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Linda G. in Alabama. Tony H., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Roz G. Star one to unmute, Tony.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I thought I had done that. This is Toni Aitken in Connecticut. Thank you very much for calling on me. I absolutely love this meeting. So thank you for everyone who's doing service in the meeting and for everyone who's sharing. What really jumped out to me, so I'm relatively new in the program. I actually have 28 days now since August 5th. What I wanted to share is that my spiritual experience, even though I'm just at the beginning of the steps, which is a whole different spiritual experience, but for me, at this point, I have to keep my spiritual experience happening. I have to do my prayer and meditation in the morning. And I also have to, because the cravings and all that, you know, the distractions and all this stuff will still come up. And the best way, the only way for me to deal with that in the moment is to pray, is to call on my higher power to help me get through this moment and help me not stop at the places that where I know I don't need to be and partake of and all that kind of stuff. And the thing, keep driving past or walking past the things that would get me off track before. And I did struggle in the program. I've been in the program probably about 5 months now. And it took me those first three or four just to be able to maintain my abstinence. And I am working with a sponsor and going through the steps. So like I said, I absolutely love this Vision for You meeting. I'm so glad everyone is here. And thank you very, very much for letting me share.
Glad you are here, Toni H. Thank you very much for sharing. Roz G is up next, then we'll have time for possibly two more shares after
okay.
Roz.
Okay, thank you, Elaine. Thank you, everybody, for being here and for your shares. And I, too, went to face-to-face meetings where I was told what you need to recover is 12 steps and 8 tools. I think 12 and 8 is 20. You need to do 20 things to recover, 12 steps and 8 tools. And so I was like, okay, I'll try that. And I spent, you know, many, many years, I'd say 14 to 15 years in face-to-face OA meetings with very little recovery. I learned some wisdom. I learned some food plans. I went back on diets, you know, commercial diets, just like everybody else. I'm not saying anything that anybody hasn't said or done. And I did not know what my problem was. And yeah, we have 12 steps and 12 tools, but the way to understand and work and study those 12 steps is to study the big book, like a textbook. You know, I learned in college how to read a textbook. I mean, there was actually classes on how to read a textbook or lessons, highlighting, annotating, you know, doing, you know, notes again, having study partners. And, okay, those are all tools, those are all actions. But then in that second step, if I study the big book, it teaches me that there is a higher power that no human being has ever been able to solve the problem of the compulsive overeater, you know, the hard eater, you know, yeah, but not the compulsive overeater. It's a spiritual malady that has to have a spiritual solution. And so I was taught in step two that, you know, with all my religious background, that I was like, you know, like Wendy, an agnostic. Even though I didn't practice agnosticism, I didn't think I did. I really was. And so it is so spiritual for me today. I cannot do anything without getting up in the morning and getting on my knees and asking God to direct my thinking, to direct my actions, and to direct my life. And it goes so much deeper than the food. I need God for all the decisions I make. And all the actions I take, and do I ask him? Not all the time, because I'm in this flesh and I will be till I die. But with, you know, to the best of my ability, I really try to ask the God of my understanding, my, you know, God in heaven, God of the scriptures, that also has a sense of humor and is kind and loving and is forgiving, and is so individual to me. That's my recovery today. I'm grateful for 12 steps and 12 tools. Wrapping up by saying thank you, God, for the spiritual the spiritual program. Pass.
Thank you so much, Roz G. Okay, we have time for maybe two 3-minute shares and 1 2-minute share. So if anybody would like to comment on page 44, paragraph 1, star 1 to unmute, give me your name.
Barbara E.
Barbara E. Anybody else?
Alex K.
Alex K.
Rachel L.
And Rachel L. Okay, great. So Barbara E., please share with us. You're followed by Alex K.
I was just on another meeting, and I was talking to someone who was saying, well, I was listening to someone who was saying that she'd been waiting for this higher power thing to evolve and waiting and waiting. And I referenced to her in the parking lot afterwards the chapter We Agnostics, because we never spoke much about God in our home. It never really came into the situation. But for me, I know I have a power, and I honestly have no idea what it is. And that's why I was so grateful for the Appendix 2, which says that there can be an educational variety that leads me to it, because my brain can become hostage to my disease in like a speeding bullet. And if logic were the dominant influence in my life, I'd never have been born a compulsive overeater, because I knew it was a disease that was killing me. I knew it at the bottom of my heart. I'd lose all the weight and then gain it all back again, and then lose all the weight on a different program and gain it all back again. So when I hear people say that OA or AA or any A that there is the last house on the block, I mean it with total sincerity, because if I always wanted to quit entirely, but I couldn't seem able to. It was a disease that took me gently by the wrist, and before I knew it, it had me by the throat. So I have to know that whatever it is, I don't have to understand it. I'm not sure I even believe in it, but I know I have absolutely no control. And I've heard it said, if you can't fly, Barbara, run. And if you can't run, walk. And if you can't walk, crawl. But by all means, keep on moving. And that's what I have to do, one day at a time. So I don't say I'm recovered. I say I'm recovering by the grace of a higher power that's got to be out there stronger than me. And I need it, because like the tides, they come in and out. And some days will be diamonds and everything will be great. And some days will be stones and I'll feel miserable. But if I eat over it, then I'll have two problems. So I have to keep coming to meetings, have to keep working the tools, and taking that leap of faith and saying, yes, there is a power. Don't know it,
reminder.
Don't need to know it. Thank you. Have a beautiful day, everyone. I pass.
Thank you so much. And actually, I miscalculated. We have time for 2 2-minute shares. So Alex K., please share with us.
Thank
and
you,
you'll be
Elaine.
Followed by Rachel L. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone, for being here. Alex K. in California, compulsive eater, giving a reprieve for today. I used to hear about the three-legged stool, recoveries like the three-legged stool, and each one has to be in balance or the stool will fall over. So there's the emotional, spiritual, and physical part. And I remember saying to a sponsor years ago, my sponsor at the time, I don't quite get the spiritual part. And she said, it's all spiritual. And I didn't understand that, but I do now. And I was thinking of step two, that's the solution and the hope that there's a power greater than myself that can restore me to sanity and solve my problem. I used to hear abstinence is the most important thing in my life without exception, and I believed that, but now I know it's my relationship with my higher power that's the most important thing in my life, because without my higher power, I can't be abstinent, and without my higher power, I'm not willing to do the steps or use the tools. And it's the very thing that I didn't want in the beginning, didn't think I needed. I didn't want to have anything to do with a higher power. Now it's the most important thing in my life, and I'm so grateful I kept coming back and didn't miss out on this wonderful I have now with my loving, compassionate higher power always with me that I can rely on, and I don't have to hurt myself with food today. Yay. Thanks, everyone, for helping me with my recovery today. Pass.
Thank you so much, Alex K. And Rachel L., you'll be our final share for today. Minute share. Thank you.
Hi, Rachel, compulsive eater in San Diego, California. And I wasn't going to share today, but I was meant to be in this meeting. I'm literally sitting here in tears because I have court today to finalize my divorce. And I have been praying literally all night because I've been just up shaking. And I have to give it to my higher power, you know. Because it's not up to me how today goes. It's up to me, you know, it's up to me to stay abstinent. It's up to me what I put in my mouth today. And it's up to my higher power, you know, what's going to happen today. And I choose what I do with that. And today I'm choosing I'm going to stay abstinent no matter what. You know, I only have 72 hours abstinent. In only 11 days in OA. But I know I can stay strong today, and I know I got this. So, and I know my higher power got to my back. So I love this reading. I texted my sponsor. I was like, I did not want to wake up this morning when my alarm went off at 6:45. I was like, oh my God, I just don't want to be here. I don't want to do this. But once we read this, you know, the reading, I was like, I was meant to be here. Oh my goodness, I was meant to be here. And I was really in tears. I wasn't going to share, but I was like, I need to say something because, you know, my higher power is just calling out for me to, you know, I don't know if this could touch anybody. You know, somebody's going through something today, you know, because, like, I'm struggling right now really bad. And I just, you know, I know I got it and I'm going to be okay, but I'm going to cry about it today. So thank you for letting me share.
Oh, thank you so much, Rachel. Really appreciate your share and everybody's share. We'll now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Luann C. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thank you, Elaine. Luann C., recovered, not cured, in Boise, Idaho. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.